appreciate the opportunity to be here with you this morning. And I do ask, you know, it wasn't that long ago. I remember when Katrina hit us right here and how bad it was. And at that time, I was blessed enough to have maintenance for Southwest Mississippi. And I'm telling you, it was horrible. A lot of hours. And now, it's funny how things change. My baby boy is working down there as a lineman in the midst of all that, so I beg an interest in your prayers on his behalf. Because I know what it's like when you go into that situation, so please be praying for him. Appreciate the kind and humble prayer this morning and the sentiments of it, the thought that it brought to our mind, because we do take so many things for granted. I think one of the reasons that we take the Lord so much for granted is because he's always a faithful husband. It's because he never leaves us or forsakes us. Though there's times in our life that we might be like David, and we might cry out, "Lord, are you clean gone forever?" But you know, the Lord has not moved. It says that our iniquities have separated us from our God. That there's a promise just as sure as any other promise in God's Word, that if we draw nigh unto the Lord will draw nigh unto us. Now, he also promises that he would never leave us or forsake us. That's a blessing, brethren. Because so many times in our life, we, just like Brother Danny prayed, forsake the Lord. So many times in our life, we take for granted the privilege, and it is a privilege, that we have to gather with the saints of God to worship his matchless name. I'm going to tell you, there's no better thing to hear. Over in Proverbs 25 and 25, it probably says it's the best way. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I'm thankful, brethren, this whole place is not our home. I'm thankful that we get to gather together with the saints of God and hear good news from a far country, which is our home country. Because this place is not our home. We are strangers and pilgrims as we travel. And as Brother Danny prayed, he said, it seems like it just gets faster and faster and faster. And the older we get, the more homesick we get. For a country that we've not seen. For a habitation that is everlasting in the heavens. To enjoy and enter into an inheritance that has been provided for us that cannot be diminished in one iota. It'll never run out. It'll never go away. And it'll never fail. And the closer we get to that, because we realize, you know, when you're young, you think you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Nothing ever hurts you. That's just the way you are. You think that you can do anything, and then you get a little bit older. That's why my voice is still just as weak this morning as it is, because coaching Friday night. So the reason it's messed up is for coaching Friday night. But there's times, you know, I'll tell you this, Brother Joey, you know, them boys get to dragging through some of them drills. I said, man, get out of the way. Let me show you how this is done. Sometimes you better just talk them through what you expect. I mean, I got on that sled and I went through there, and man, that done good. The face said, Coach, you still got it. I said, I know I still got it. I should have left well enough alone. I went the second time, and that was bad news, son. When I come out, I wasn't dare going to let them know I was hurt. But when I got home, I told Jess, I said, you got to rub me down with something. I took 800 milligrams of ibuprofen, get some icy hot, and I'm telling you, I was in a bad way. But we begin to realize that this old body of fellas is not as strong as we once were. You know, I remember one time a man broke down right there, had a flat tire in front of our barn, and me and Justin was unloading hay into the barn. And Daddy was standing there, and me and Justin was unloading hay. And the man's car fell off the jack. And we walked up there, and Justin and I picked up the car for the man to put his tire on because his jack kept falling over. We just picked up the car. I wouldn't dare try to pick up the car now. Something would bust loose somewhere that I need. So we realize that we fail. We realize this whole creation is waxing old as a garment. But there's coming a day, brethren, that we're going to inhabit a place that'll never diminish. The lights will never fade thereof, because the light of that city is Jesus Christ Himself. No darkness, no sunset, no dusk will ever be upon it. It'll be everlasting light. That's an amazing thing. Just to think about that. You know, there's some days in my life that I wish some days wouldn't have ended. There were some days that were some good days. But you know what? Sunset, night came, and that day was over. But on that morning, when the day star arises, it'll be a day that never ends. And it'll be the best day that we've ever experienced in our life. And that's hard to comprehend while we're here. But I can tell you that our thoughts, our meditation, it should be there. So many times we're distracted by the social media, by the news, by the bad news. Because, you know, we still got this old Adamic nature within us, right? And that old nature of Adam, it likes bad news. And it likes to spread bad news. And it's a constant warfare that we have to fight with our carnal nature versus our spiritual nature that God has given us. Because this old carnality, it's wicked in every single way. Every time you look throughout the Scripture, you'll see that, you know, it says, we were. Now, that's an important concept. We were. We need to remember that from time to time. A lot of times, oh, we're sinners. Yeah, well, we were the children of wrath, even as others. But I'm going to tell you, God has called us to be saints. And as saints, our thoughts, our mind, He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I can tell you what's on His mind. On His mind, He said, He endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? For the joy that was set before Him. If that's what was on His mind, in Psalms 22, you can go over there and you will see a beautiful picture there of the Lord there on Calvary's cross. And we sang that song. Over in Psalms 22, He says, the bulls of Bashan have compassed me around. They wail on me. They gnash on me with their teeth. And He says, in the midst of all that, we see a beautiful picture there. And He says, I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. There was this great theologian I was having a conversation with one time. And he was like, he was a religious man. I wouldn't say a theologian, but anyway. He had a doctor's degree. He said, oh, what that means is his body was so emaciated that you could see his bones just sticking out everywhere. I said, man, I see something much more beautiful than that, brother. You know, when God looked at man, as Brother Danny prayed, I'm going to tell you, Lord said it's not good for man to be alone. You realize that, don't you? I'm going to tell you, Sister Jessica's gone. I visit everybody in the neighborhood and the existing around the surrounding neighborhoods. I don't like being by myself. I understand what He says is not good for man to be alone. He says, I'll make an help meet for him. In other words, one fit for him. And when Adam looked at Eve, you know what he said? Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I'm going to tell you what was on the Lord's mind when He says, I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. That word tell is the root of what we, when you go to the bank, you see the teller. You know what they do? They count money. You know what the Lord's saying here? He said, I can see her. She's present and accounted for. Every single little child of promise. I can see my bride. I can tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. I'm going to tell you, from Adam to the point of the crucifixion, they were looking forward to that point. And now we look back to that day when the Lord took my sins away and redeemed me from a hell that I deserved to live with Him in glory forevermore. We all look upon Him. And He said, they stare upon me. Oh, that our gaze might be fixed upon Him every single day. When we awake in the morning, may we be staring upon the Lord. May we be looking to the Lord from whence our help cometh. May we be looking to our deliverer, our fortress, May we look and walk in the kingdom that he has provided, that we might tell her bulwarks, that we might know where she is established and how she sits, that we might rejoice in this kingdom that we have right now, ever looking to the kingdom we shall enjoy then. Because the Lord was not looking at things temporally. You can see in every aspect. Matter of fact, when they was going there to the tomb of Lazarus, he said, well, Lazarus sleeping. They said, oh, he's doing well then, Lord. He's sleeping. You see, that's what the Lord viewed Lazarus' death as. He said, his body's going to sleep. Man, I feel sorry for Lazarus. I really do, in many ways. Can you imagine being in glory and all of a sudden come back to this? Man, I'd be ready to go back. That's why he said, I saw some things that were unlawful. I saw some things I can't explain to you. Well, he said, I know a man whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. Lifted up into the third heaven. He said, I saw things that were unlawful to utter. I can't wait to see those things. I can't imagine what heaven holds. But I'm looking forward to figuring it out. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to being known as I'm known. I'm looking forward to knowing as I'm known. I'm looking forward to that day. But until that day, we need to be like the Lord and have the same man that was in Christ in us. He said, Lazarus, he sleepeth. In other words, his body's going to lay in that grave. But I'm going to tell you, Lazarus is alive and well. Just like he told that thief, today shalt thou be with me in the cross. Now, I'm going to tell you, they put his body in the dump. But that thief went home to be with the Lord that very day. Because the Lord said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And when he said, Lazarus sleepeth, they said, oh, he's doing well. You know what kind of mind they were looking with? A carnal mind. With this old carnal mind, they said, well, if Lazarus is sleeping, he's doing well. Then the Lord plainly told him, said, Lazarus is dead. You know, now, I'm going to tell you that when he got there, she said, oh, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not have died. Well, you know what? She told truth. I don't see anybody ever dying in the presence of Christ. As a matter of fact, the Lord died before two thieves had died. I don't think you can find a single place in Scripture, I hadn't found one, where somebody died in the presence of Jesus Christ. I can see where a lot of folks was made alive, but I can't find where anybody died. In contrast that to Adam. I mean, one of his sons kills his other son. In Adam, we all die, but in Christ, we're all made alive. But the Lord looked on things in that perspective for the joy that was set before him. Paul encouraged us in that way. Paul said, the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. He said, don't be looking around. You know, old brother Peter, he got out of the boat, didn't he? But he got to looking around as opposed to looking on the Lord. He says, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. When he quit staring at the Lord and took his eyes off the Lord and began to look at the waves, he began to do what? Sink. Then he cried out. This is where, Lord, never leave us or forsake us. Lord, save. Guess what? Immediately, the Lord saved him. It's amazing how that works. And here he was looking away from the Lord, looking out here. There's no way I can do this. No, there's no way you can do it, brethren. There's no way you can make it to glory. There's no way you can draw your next breath. There is no way you can live a life that is becoming of the saints of God. But in Christ Jesus, you can. Because you know why? He's put something within you that's greater than this world. He's put something in you that's already overcome this world. He's put something in you that's already overcome the grave, death, hell, all diseases. And that's the very Spirit of God dwelling within us that has made us heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we forget that from time to time. And we get hung up on the fact, oh, we're sinners. Yes, we're sinners, but I'm going to tell you, God's called you to be saints. He's called you to have a different perspective in this world. When the Lord's Spirit dwells within you, it should change your outlook and your uplook. You should quit looking down and around and start looking up. We should, as we face these storms in life, we need to be like those three Hebrew children that were cast into the fiery furnace. Our God's able to deliver. He's going to deliver us. I'm going to tell you, brethren, that with all of the destruction of this old world, and we know this is coming, it's not a surprise. The Lord has told us it's going to take place. There's going to be wars, there's going to be perils, there's going to be diseases. We know what this world is, brethren. It's waxing older as a garment. But I'm telling you, There's a day coming we're going to be delivered from all this. And we need to remember that day. Because when we think on those things, this is a dry and parched land. But when we dwell on those things, it's like cold waters to a thirsty soul. When our thoughts and our affection turns to things of that world, to things that are eternal, not things that are temporal. In Psalms 19, I want to grab this and one more and I'm going to get out of the way. Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. I've met some people educated well beyond their intelligence. In college, you're going to meet a lot of them, by the way. Just be braced for it, because there's a bunch of fools you're going to encounter in college. They got a bunch of MDs and PhDs behind their name, but yet God says they're a fool. Because he has brought to naught the wisdom of this old world. I got news for you, brethren. We need to be like little children. The Lord said, you know what? I spoke this world into existence, and by faith I understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And let a fool be a fool. And you know, here's the thing. At some point in time, you think you can... I don't remember who it was. It might have been your dad. I think your brother told me this story. I can't remember. He said, he rode by a pastor, looked out there and says, a man just sitting there arguing with a donkey. Was that your dad? It might have been. I think Brother Philip told me this story. He said, which one's got the problem? The donkey or the man? He said, that's the same thing as arguing with a fool over the things of God. It's a waste of time. It's just like arguing with a donkey. Not going to do you any good. Not going to do the donkey any good. Matter of fact, it's going to do you harm because you're going to leave there mad. I don't know if you've ever fooled with a donkey, but I'm telling you, I tried to teach one to lead one time. And that joker was stubborn. And I said, I'm going to break your little tail. And I tied him to the back of the tractor and I drug him. I basically plowed that whole pasture behind Daddy's house with that little donkey. And he was set down and I just pulled him. I said, you're going to learn to walk. You know, that stupid donkey never learned to walk. And I wasted 2 days dragging him around with a trailer, with a tractor. And he never learned to walk. I wasted my time fooling with that stupid thing. And I'll tell you that it is not your job. It's not your job to convert a fool. That's not your job. I'll tell you what your job is, though. Your job is to stand for the truth and understand that the heavens declare the glory of God. Just stand for the truth. That's all you got to do. You don't have to argue with a fool. You don't answer a fool according to his folly. And then don't answer a fool according to his folly. Wisdom is knowing when to do which one. But the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. That's amazing. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In other words, the glory of God encompasses every culture, every race, every nationality, every tongue. That's what he's saying here. There's no tongue or speech on the face of this planet that doesn't profess and proclaim the glory of God. Their line is gone out through all the earth. Woo! Their line is gone out through all the earth. And their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. We got a tabernacle for the sun, brethren. We are the tabernacle of God. Y'all realize that? We as spiritual, lively stones are built up into a spiritual house that we may offer acceptable sacrifices unto God. You can get that over in 1 Peter, I believe. It's the right-hand page, right-hand column down at the bottom in that book. But I don't know the number. But anyway, it's there. We as lively stones are built up into a spiritual house that we can offer acceptable sacrifices unto the Lord. He says, which is as the bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. He's victorious, brethren, and we are victorious. Why? Because the wedding day is approaching as a bridegroom coming out and as a strong man prepared to win a race. We know that we have victory in Jesus Christ in every aspect and everything and every peril and every tribulation and every trial. His going forth is from the end of heaven and is circuit unto the end of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Nothing hid from the Lord. His circuit covers it all from the very end to the very end. That's why he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end and everything in between. The law of the Lord is perfect. Listen to this. This gives us a good idea of what our meditation might be upon. The law of the Lord is perfect. I'm going to tell you, in this world, you're not going to find anything this perfect. Nothing. Nothing. In this world, physically. You can build a house and you can say, oh man, it's just what I want. It's perfect. You live in it for a month and you say, you know, I wish we'd have done this. You buy a truck and you're just totally satisfied with it. You wash it every day. Keep that thing clean. Then eventually you get to the point and you say, well, it's going to rain at some point in time. You know, because it's not perfect anymore, right? You get a little, the first little scratch on it, and you say, oh, well, I'm just going through the woods. And you got, that's the way we work. Nothing's perfect. But the law of the Lord is perfect. You know, you're never going to find an error in this. Thy word, O Lord, is truth, brethren. Thy word is settled forever. You know why? You don't have to add anything to it. It's perfect. You know what you do? You know what you get when you add something? One time, I'll just teach you this real quick and I'll move on. One time, I made some chili. My sister Jessica tried it. Or it was gumbo. I think it was gumbo. I made gumbo and she tried it. She said, oh, it's perfect. She left and I was like, put a little bam in there. And I put a little more payao in the pot, you know. Then she tried it at supper. And she said, what'd you do? You know why? When you add something to something that's perfect, you know what it becomes? It's imperfect. When it's perfect just where it's supposed to be, if you add anything to it, that's why, brethren, when you start adding things to the grace of God, you make it imperfect. I'm going to tell you, it's perfect just how God done it. His work of salvation is perfect and complete. He has forever perfected the saints. When you start adding something to that, you make it imperfect and add doubt into your mind and you begin to wonder if you've ever been saved. Because you're adding your works to it. But you see, it's perfect if you leave it just where God put it. Don't add anything to it. Because if you add something to it, now you make it imperfect. Now you make it spoil. Now you make it fade. Now you make it diminish in its beauty in and of itself. But the law of the Lord is perfect. This, converting the soul. And Lord knows we all stand in need of that on a daily basis. Oh, we need to be strengthened in the Lord and move from error to truth on a daily basis. Let me move on. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Here you go. You don't have to debate with a fool. Just declare what the glory of the Lord is. Makes wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Man, doesn't it make your heart feel good when you hear the word of God proclaimed and His Spirit comes down? I'm going to tell you, it does your heart good. It's good for you and it's good to you. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I'm going to tell you, we like that old servant. He was there with the prophet. He said, oh, how are we going to fare? This is bad. They got us surrounded. What are we going to do? And he said, he prayed that his eyes might be opened, that he might be enlightened, that he might know there's more that be with us than there are with them. I'm going to tell you, we need to be enlightened because we live in a land of darkness. We need enlightening of the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. I'm going to tell you, you young people, when you go up and you're deciding on a job and a career and a profession, you know the first thing you need to think about? Not how much money you're going to make. First thing you need to think about, is there a place I can go to church and serve the Lord there? Those things are the most important thing. But we put our affection on everything that fails. I'm going to tell you, money will fail you. The dollar will fail. You don't believe it? There were some brethren that I used to hear pray right here that lived through the Great Depression. And they know that a dollar turns into nothing. Not even good for toilet paper. They know that. They experienced it. If your trust is in riches, I'm going to tell you, riches will fail you. If your trust is a 401k, that thing will go flat. If your trust is money you built up in real estate, you'll lose your tail in the housing market once you pops. Been there and done that. When your trust is in anything other than the Lord, I promise you it's not perfect and it's not going to be complete and it'll always let you down. There's one place, though, you can put your confidence and trust and it'll never fail you. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. What we've got's better than gold. It's better than the sweetest thing you've ever tasted, which is clover honey right out the jar. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. By what? This perfect law of liberty. We're warned. We're told some things to beware of. You know why? You know why we need warnings? Because we can fail. Boy, I wish we was all little good boys and girls. Wouldn't that be awesome for us? But you know why there's warning after warning in God's Word not to forsake some things, not to let some things slip? Because we can forsake some things, and we can let those things slip, and we can forget that we're once purged from our old sins. That's why we're warned time and time again. By them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I'm going to tell you, the rewards you get in keeping the law of the Lord and in serving Him is much greater than anything this whole world can give you. There's a peace which passeth all understanding that we have when we understand what the Lord has accomplished for us and in His Word. Then he says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. You know, I can remember as a kid, I'd be sitting over on that bench, and old brother Oscar Easterlin would pray. And brother Oscar would say, Lord, forgive us of sins both of omission and commission. This is what he's saying here. What he's saying is, cleanse me from secret faults. Lord, there's times that I know that I failed you that I didn't even know I'd failed you. Because I'm too dumb to even realize the situation I was in. Cleanse me, Lord, of my secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Now listen, I've done all this to get to verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want you to listen to this prayer, brethren, and may this also be our prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. I'm going to share with you this one thing right here, and I'm sitting down, Brother James. I want to go over to Philippians real quick. And I want you to see how that the same thing is reiterated unto us. Here, Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, in the fourth chapter, in the eighth verse, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Get the world out of your head. Let the meditation of our heart and the words of our mouth be acceptable in the Lord. And I got news for you, brethren. If you got anything good, I got news where you got it from. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. There's not even an idea that he might change. And that's good news for us, brethren. You know why? Because over there In Malachi, he says, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I'm going to tell you, brethren, that's a good thing. Meditate on those things. When all the perils and all the disasters and all the diseases and all the things face us, let the meditation of our heart and the words of our mouth be acceptable unto him that has delivered us from all of our enemies. May the Lord bless you, is our prayer.